Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
All right, who's glad to be in church today? So good to see you all again today, Calvary. It's a great day. I hope you brought your Bible. Welcome to week number one of a three-episode series that, honestly, I've really been looking forward to on the fruit of the Spirit that's found in Galatians 5. And so we're going to jump right into it today. So whether you're watching at home or here in the house, why don't we read this scripture together? I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, before we jump into the context and look at this a little deeper, let me contrast it to some much less desirable fruit. But you need some context for this too. While we were away recently on a missions trip a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Susan and I, we just had an amazing time. We gave everybody a little bit of an update last week. So if you missed that, go back and check it out on our YouTube channel. But I was given a unique opportunity to join a group of the ministry's professional hunters and trackers. So we have a couple of pictures here. The first one is of our group. Tian, my professional hunter, he's behind the wheel. The tracker's to my right. And then behind me is an IPHC missionary from Sudan. And so we set out together on the 7,500-acre Shikwaru game farm. Now, you need to understand that all the wild animals that are here live in what's called the African bushveld. And so it's like a subtropical woodland and savanna-type eco-region. But all the animals that are hunted here are actually hunted with great purpose, not just for sport. You see, these animals are processed and then they're given to the millions of children that Reaching a Generation feeds. And so I wanted to see what that whole process looked like. And so these hunters are the real deal. I mean, they have all the gear, right? ATVs and jeeps and drones and rifles with suppressors on them. They got sidearms and binoculars. And they're usually decked out with camo from head to toe. And of course, they've got steel toe reinforced hiking boots to protect them against all the crazy things that are out there in the bushveld, right? Snakes that would bite you, or anything that's in the grass that you just can't see coming. And then there's me, all right? And I'm not looking the part at all. I've got my Hope Center Ministries trucker hat on that I was given as a gift. I got my black hoodie. I got my safari beige pants, track pants on. And I got an old pair of Skechers, sneakers that probably have outlived their worth. But they were easy to pack in my carry-on, and I thought, yeah, you know what, even if I need to leave them behind, I'm not going to be sad about it. And so that's what I had to deal with. And there we were, heading out into the bushveld to hunt animals, but also to be potentially hunted by whatever else was out there ourselves. You've got black mamba snakes that one of the hunters had pulled out his sidearm and shot at and kind of missed. And then you've got massive baboons that are out there that kind of lumber across the road every now and then. And they've got like 4-inch fangs. Like, these things are terrifying. And so we're walking along through the bushveld, and the hunter says, "Now you need to stay awkwardly close to me just for safety and to you know, be very quiet in case we see something." And I'm like, "Man, you don't have to tell me twice. Like, I'm your shadow. I'm not going anywhere." And so we're tracking along, and we come across this massive, rusty old cage out in the middle of nowhere. And I said to the hunter, I said, "What's with the cage?" And he said, "Oh, there's a leopard loose on the property." I'm like, "Come again?" yeah, there's a leopard loose on the property, and so every now and then we fill that cage full of chickens and hope that in the night we catch the leopard, and then another animal protection service comes and takes the leopard away and then releases it into another area. And I'm like, okay, well, when's the last time you saw the leopard that's running loose on the property that we're walking through in my Skechers? And he's like, well, you know, 3 months ago. He said, where did you see it? Well, not back there on the road. And I'm like, okay then. So now all else I can think is leopard on the loose, right? Every branch, every noise is a leopard now to me. I'm waiting for this thing to descend on us. And so I'm staying close to this guy. I'm staying close to the guy with the weapons, because I need as much protection as possible. And so then I'm very close behind him, and I hear, and I'm like, Tian, his name is Tian. I said, Tian, what is that? He said, there's a herd of wild wildebeest just behind us. Stay quiet, keep moving. And I'm like, okay. Like, should we be concerned about a herd of wildebeest? He didn't seem to think so. So I'm going to be in as much peace as he is. So I stayed close to him. Now, let's talk African fruit, because I'm constantly passing by bushes that get little berries and sap coming out of the trees, and I'm wondering, what is this stuff? Now, I'm glad that I didn't know then what I know now, since I've got back and started to do some research on what some of these fruit in the bushveld that are common to the bushveld are. But let's start with this special one. It's called Bushman's Poison. Now, these are small plum-like berries that turn deep purple when they're ripe. And so these pretty little berries may look good, but every part of this plant is considered toxic. If the leaves or the berries happen to somehow get in your mouth, because, man, we're going through the bush and things are slapping you in the face. But if this stuff gets in your mouth, they say it can cause severe cardiac distress. No problem, right? Or how about the poison apple? Now, this is another one common in the bushveld. This bad boy produces bright yellow berries that resemble like small tomatoes. It's a member of the nightshade family, and it contains high levels of toxins. And if ingested, these things can cause severe gastrointestinal or neurological symptoms and loss of muscle control. So I'm glad I was only thinking about crazy animals and leopards on the loose and big fang baboons and not killer fruit that was around me. But apparently they were out there, and the list goes on and on. There's the sausage tree fruit. These are these big brown fruit that the elephants and the baboons like to eat. There's the wild castor oil plant that produces these spiky burr-like seed pods that if you ingest or get in your mouth, they can lead to organ failure or death, right? No problem. And yet I look down at my beautiful Skechers at one point, and it is covered. They are covered with spikes and burrs and little crazy things that I can't even identify, and you don't have time to think about it. You don't have time to pick them off. You just got to keep moving. You got to stay close to your hunter for your own survival, right? Now, before we dig into the context of Galatians 5:22-23, to consider some much less deadly fruit, some fruit that we actually want and don't want to avoid, let me tell you why we're doing this particular series. And honestly, there's a number of reasons. But one of them is that God has this hope, I believe, in all of us, that we're bearing the fruit of Christianity. You see, the hope of Christianity is not just to go to heaven someday. That's a wonderful thing. But it's that we become like Jesus. And then when people see us, they want the God that's within us, right? It attracts people that are lost and in darkness to the light. God wants us to bear fruit and have his kingdom values in the way that we live our lives. Now, this is important because I believe, honestly, as you connect with people today, people are hungrier than ever before for the truth. And But here's the problem, because when we look at that, people have had some bad experiences, even with church folks. And we need to understand that people are not always rejecting God, but sometimes they're rejecting us. They're rejecting the people who represent Jesus, because he is misrepresented out there. So we need to be very careful that we're representing him well. So we need to allow God to work on the inside of us, because we can't make a difference if we're not different to begin with. When he's at work within us, there will be evidence of it in our lives, right? It only stands to reason. Now, the second reason that we're doing this series is that fruit lets us know if we're getting this right, if we're getting our Christianity right, because the fruit speaks for itself. Fruit can't actually be taught or worked on. It's actually who you are. How we're living is evidence of what's going on the inside. So if that concerns you today, well then, great. Because honestly, it concerns me. It definitely concerns me, because I think sometimes I'm feeling or acting in a certain way and I'm like, wait a minute, like this behavior is not on that list. And so, you know, this anger, this impatience, this lack of self-control, these are the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, which lets me know that God still has some work to do in my life. And then the last reason I want to study this is simply because God wants this for you. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He's a good God, and he wants you to have more love in your life, more joy, more peace. Wouldn't you like to have more patience and be good and kind, to be more faithful and gentle and have more self-control in your life? Now, one of the greatest misconceptions in Christianity is that spiritual maturity is achieved through just trying harder. That if I can just make a valiant effort, that I can make it happen for myself. People spend years attempting to produce outward change when neglecting inward transformation. But God always works from the inside out. The Holy Spirit does not simply improve our behavior. He transforms our nature. Now, religion is different, much different than our relationship with God, because religion focuses on the outward appearance and actions. And the Holy Spirit focuses on the root of what's going on inside of us. And if the root is unhealthy, then the fruit will reflect that. But if the fruit is healthy, then the fruit will automatically pop out in your life. It will show what's going on within you. Lasting fruit, listen, it's not something we can manufacture. And yet people are trying to do it all the time, trying to be more loving, trying to be more patient, trying to be good and to be kind. Sometimes we're more fixated on these things than we are actually knowing him. That's why the Apostle Paul doesn't say, listen, you gotta try harder to be loving. No. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love. He doesn't say you need to force yourself to think happy thoughts, right? Force yourself to have peace. No, he says the fruit of the Spirit is peace. He doesn't say work harder to find that joy. He says the fruit of the Spirit is joy. You know, the Christian life is not about self-improvement. It's about Spirit empowerment. The Holy Spirit produces what we cannot in ourselves. Now, just think about the disciples before Pentecost. They loved Jesus, right? They believed in Jesus. They followed Jesus. Yet they were still fearful. They were still unstable. And at times, they were still confused. But when the Holy Spirit came, everything changed. Cowards became courageous. Doubters became believers. Ordinary people turned the world upside down. The difference wasn't better information in the moment. The difference was the presence and power of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. The same Spirit who empowered them lives in you today. or he can if he doesn't. Love, joy, and peace, these are not personality traits that we're talking about today. They are evidence that the Spirit of God is at work inside of us. All right, I want to return to the text, but also to the context. So if you've got your Bibles, let's back it up to Galatians 5, but we're going to start reading in verse 16. It says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit." Now the Spirit, that's the breath of God, right? The power of God that works on the inside of us, that makes us want to do the things of God. So he says, "Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Now, if we're honest, we all have those from time to time, right? Maybe you did last night, maybe you did this morning before you left the house. But then it goes on in verse 17, it says, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict." We are in the middle of a spiritual war. And maybe some of you are feeling that right now. Maybe more so this week. Maybe more so last night. I don't know what you're walking through. You start asking yourself, why did I say that? Or what did I do that for? That just doesn't seem like Christ within me. Why did I act like that? We really get down on ourselves sometimes when we step away from it all and we review our evening or our day, and it's not pretty. So there's a war, and it's raging between the godly part of you and the ungodly part of you. So they're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now let me stop there and explain. Back in their day, they had the law, right? The Ten Commandments. But they also had another 400 laws that they were trying to keep up with. And he's trying to teach them, Paul is trying to teach them in this moment in Galatia, that when you're led by the Spirit of God, you don't need the law. You don't need to live by a new one. They always thought, well, maybe what we need is a new law that addresses this particular situation. But the truth is, you don't need something externally telling you what to do when it's already written on the inside of you. When you live from the Spirit of God and the life that bubbles up on the inside of you, you know how to respond and react in the moment. Now, you don't always obey that or do that, but if you listen and are sensitive to the Spirit of God at work in your life, you can live there. Then verse 19 says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality," he starts with. Now, these two words are actually one Greek word called porneia, which is where we get the word pornography, right? So these are the toxic fruit that Paul kind of sets the stage for, like the ones that I was passing quickly by in South Africa. These are the fruit that can kill you. And so before he even gets to the fruit of the Spirit, he's saying this is the fruit that if you allow that ungodly side of your nature to rule, they will automatically flow through you. So the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Now, debauchery just means that you're living out what your senses want you to do. It talks about idolatry and witchcraft. Now, interestingly, the Greek word for witchcraft here is pharmakeia, which is where we get the English word pharmacy. And I found this very interesting, and you may say, well, what's the connection? What's the connection there for us? Well, if you think about it, illicit drugs is like having a supernatural experience that you just left God out of. He's not even a part of the equation. You just had a counterfeit experience. There's hatred, there's discord, there's jealousy, there's fits of rage. These are more toxic fruit that can kill you. And when I read that list, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, listen, that sounds like society to me today. There's entire TikTok sites that are dedicated just to that kind of rage with people coming up banging on one another's windows. There's selfish ambition. There's dissension. There's factions. This sounds like our nation, the nation of Canada. There's envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And then it says, "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Another way to paraphrase this is that You'll never experience the best God has to offer when you allow these fruit to bloom and pop out of your life, because they are indicators on how you are living, what you are thinking about, what you are doing, the practices that you have. Listen, the kingdom of God is not a particular destination that you can plug into the GPS. He wants to bring the kingdom forth from within you, right? It's when God is the king of your heart that the kingdom comes from within you. And this is the bigger thing that he wants to do within all of us. And so he goes through this long list of the things that we war against, these toxic fruit, and then it brings us in context to our verse, our main text. And he lists these nine fruit. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. That's just another word for patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then he emphasizes this again. He says, when I teach you this, I can't tell you how to do these things. I can't give you another law that will help you accomplish them. These have to be on the inside of you. That's why he says, against such things, there is no law. So it's more than doing life with the knowledge of good things and bad things. It's more about his Spirit springing up within you, the Spirit of life, which takes us right back to the garden in the beginning. You've got two trees. It's not necessarily the God tree and the sin tree, but you've got the knowledge, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. This sets up for us for all the days to come throughout history, the decision we have to make to either live by rules and laws of what's right and wrong, or live by the Spirit of God. To choose from the tree of life, the Spirit that will flow from within us. And those fruit will automatically be reflected in our lives. One is connected to knowledge, the other is rooted deeply in Christ. Now, how can we become more godly? Well, it's less about laws and more about the love of God on the inside of you. It's no longer like I have to do this, but I get to do this. It's about delight and not duty. All right, for further context, let me say this. Galatia is a city in what is today modern Turkey. So the people, the audience that Paul was talking to, were not Jewish people. Paul is teaching Gentile people who in that moment were being heavily influenced by Jewish leaders that were still insisting that they adhere to the law and the duty of things like circumcision to try to please God instead of delighting in his grace. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 says, "For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You've fallen away from God's grace." So this teaching is not about like the three easy steps to love, joy, and peace. You can't just be taught fruit. That's what Paul is trying to get through to them and let them know. When we're rooted in Christ, peace springs up on the inside of you and then it pops out of you, right? It's a reflection of what's going on inside of you. And that peace is shown. So you can't learn fruit. Fruit is the byproduct of who we are. And when you fall in love with Jesus, you become more and more rooted. All right, turn with me to John 15, verses 4 to 5. Remain in me, or be rooted in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You can't pull off love, joy, and peace on your own, no matter how hard you try. And sadly, we do. We keep trying to pull these things off on our own through that tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to act a better person. I'm not going to do the wrong thing. I'm going to do the right thing. And Paul's saying, listen, you got to live by the Spirit so that you'll automatically not be drawn to do these things. It must be something that we remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Say that to yourself. Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. Sometimes we got to say that to ourselves until we finally understand it, because we keep trying to pull it off. So that's a powerful thing when we understand that remaining in him makes it all possible. The gospel is not about learned behavior. It's transformation of the inner person. So from the vine, we can bear the first three life-giving fruit that we're starting this series with today, that were honestly much more evident in South Africa than the crazy killer fruit that I mentioned earlier. The first one of those, we've already touched on all three of these, but let me just tell you a little bit more about them. The first one is love. Now, it's the first one on the list for a reason. It's the verb of the Bible. It's who he is. 1 John 4:8, God is what? He is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. I like 1 Corinthians 14:1 because it gives us focus. It says, make love your greatest aim. So we're aiming to do many things in our lives and to accomplish many things, but make your greatest aim in life love. Corrie ten Boom once said, you can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have. Love is the first fruit listed here in Galatians 5, because love is the foundation for everything else on the list. That's where it all begins. Second fruit that we've been talking about a little bit, but I want to say a little bit more about, is joy. Joy is much deeper than happiness. Listen, happiness depends on happenings, right? Joy depends on Jesus. Nehemiah 8:10, in the second part of that verse, is one some of you are familiar with. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He doesn't say it's our reward. He says joy is our strength. Then number three, peace. Now the third fruit, it represents supernatural tranquility. Tranquility, that's what comes to mind, but that's what it is. Jesus never promised you and I a storm-free life. But he did promise us peace in the middle of those storms. The same peace that allowed Jesus to sleep on a boat during a storm, that same spirit is available to us through the Holy Spirit, that same peace. John 14:27 says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. World is going to try to hand you all kinds of options for counterfeit peace, things that will numb the pain and stop it for a while, but it always returns. Jesus can offer you the real thing. The word peace is actually rooted in a wonderful word that has such rich meaning called shalom. And understanding the Hebrew significance of shalom, it really means wholeness, completeness, universal flourishing, rather than the absence of conflict. Shalom goes beyond a ceasefire, and it describes a rich state of affairs where body, soul, and spirit are in health and harmony. You know, shalom is what I was experiencing out in the bushveld when I was getting a little bit more and more concerned. They have this thing when hunters hunt an animal that if they hit it and wound it, then they have to track it. That can sometimes take hours. It can sometimes take days. And so they hit an animal, we track it into the bush, and then when they come across the first marker of blood, big or small, they stop. And that one spot of blood speaks to the tracker things that we don't even hear. They can tell how bad the wound is. They can tell where the animal was hit. They can tell if it's moving fast or moving slow. The blood speaks. Now, that's a whole other message for another day, which I will probably develop at some point. But they have this thing where people take turns and they'll say, okay, Steve, you have last blood. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? It just means that you stand right here where we found the last marker of blood. And then we're going to go on ahead and keep tracking until we find the next marker of blood. So they get going into the bush. They're getting further and further away. They look back. Steve, you got last blood? Yep, I'm good. Feel like a hero, like you're doing something. But now they're getting much further in the distance to the point where they disappear. And now I'm discovering shalom in a whole new way. I'm praying like I've never prayed before when I understand that here I am standing in the bush belt in my Skechers, in blood, in fresh blood. So if we're tracking blood, who else is out there tracking blood? What other animal is out there? So you learn to deepen your prayer life in the bush belt in that moment. Now, shalom, or God's peace, represents the restoration of broken relationships that have been fractured by sin. It's a guard to the heart. The peace of God is actually used to describe like almost like a sentry to our heart from anxiety and fear. This peace, God's peace, surpasses all our human understanding. This guard is shalom. And so that peace restores broken relationships. Billy Graham once said, there is a peace that comes from trusting God, a peace that the world can never give. So, church family, to you today, I speak the shalom of God. To every fractured and strained marriage, I speak shalom. I speak healing to you. To every mind that's in a state of confusion, or those that struggle with their mental of health, I speak shalom to you today. To those of you that are dealing with addiction, you're trying to shake something that you just can't get free of, today I speak shalom to you in Jesus' name. Today, as we close in prayer, I'm praying that these fruit would be evident in our life as the Spirit of God dwells within us. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today for the Spirit of life that is within us. And I pray that from that life, that Spirit, would flow the fruit of the Spirit, the indicators, the evidence of who you are within us, and that each one of us would take these fruit to a world in desperate need of them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week. We look forward to being with you again next week.